Good morning. Nice to be here among the congregation. Well, maybe you thought it wasn't a very good morning this morning. My notes got caught up in the rain, so a bit screwed up. Not very good. But I wonder, there was some freak weather back in October 1987. I wonder if you remember it. Let me give you a clue. The first clue is that there was a certain weather presenter on the television that said, his name was Michael Fish. Do any of us forget that name? Well, maybe he liked water ever since he was a fish, but he said, there'll be a bit of wind tonight, but nothing too much to worry about. Well, my goodness, was it something to worry about? Let's have a look what happened in Sevenoaks. Well, I believe these might have been the Sevenoaks that Sevenoaks was named after. But on the morning of the 16th of October, 1987, Sevenoaks became one oak because six of the oaks blew down. Well, even my daughter, who was seven at the time, she told me yesterday or the day before, yes, Dad, I remember that because you got called out, didn't you, that night, sometime in the small hours? Yes, and I did. And I drove along the road and came across a tree, big tree across the road. And when a branch fell onto the windscreen and I was worried that it was going to get broken, I thought, head for home. So I headed for home and telephoned Steve, my doctor friend in the next village, and said, Steve, I wonder if you'd mind please seeing one of your patients in your village, because I just can't get there. So that's my memory. And probably you've got memories too of that that devastating night. Well, let's think what it might be like to be involved in something much worse, a bad disaster. Let's have the next picture up. And this lady standing on the morning after the storm. And she probably shook if she was anywhere in that storm. And she was probably shaking emotionally in all that devastation. She got nowhere to escape. And yet, here she was, just surveying the damage. I've got this, since it's an all-age service, I just thought I'd build myself a very sturdy, unshakable water. I'm sure that'll be fine. As long as we don't have an earthquake. Well, turning to the passage in Hebrews. Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who knew their Old Testament. They were familiar with the stories. And what he's written about in this passage is referring to when Moses gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Now let's have a picture of Mount Sinai. This really is Mount Sinai, as, yes, I did say, Andrew, in 1978, I took that picture. But it wasn't like that when Moses came down with the tablets of stone. Let me read from Exodus 20. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." And in the Children's Bible, it says, "He wants you to respect him, so you will not sin." So we read in verse 18 of our passage, "You have not come to what may be touched." Now just remember that nobody could go on to Mount Sinai except Moses, not even an animal, it says in our passage. So it couldn't be touched. "You have not come to fire and darkness, gloom and tempest." It's probably difficult to imagine when you see that beautiful picture of Mount Sinai, but if you can imagine it with rain and wind and lightning, and very frightening. "But you haven't come to Mount Sinai. You're no longer under Jewish law. You're not going to be judged on how well you keep the Ten Commandments or how often you go to Jerusalem Temple and worship there. We may have good thoughts and do good things, but this is the God that Isaiah referring to when he wrote in Isaiah 64, chapter 64, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we'll never be able to totally please God by our own efforts. Yes, we will please him to some degree, but we can't just totally please him. Now, some people may not want to please him at all, and I don't think they have much help, much hope of receiving God's help. We have in verse 16, Esau being quoted, be careful that no person is like Esau and never thinks about God. So remember the story with Esau. They were twins. Esau came out first, the red one or the hairy one, as we might say, because that's what Esau means, and Jacob. So he was the younger twin. And by rights, Esau should have valued the special blessing that God gave to the firstborn in any family. Anyway, this day he came in hungry, and Jacob, I think his name means something clever, and he said, you know that birthright? Do you really want it? And he was hungry, and he said, oh, it's not that important. If you give me a bowl of stew, you can have the birthright. Esau despised God's goodness and blessing, and he traded it in. So let's not be godless people. And of course, many people we meet in everyday life, they don't put God as a priority at all. They don't even think about him. They're like Esau. And then there'll be people that I might call Mount Sinai people. They realize that God is demanding. He gave the Ten Commandments. And they try hard to please him. If you ask them, are you confident in the future? They quite often say, well, I hope so. Now, that to me speaks of trying but not having the confidence. And if all our efforts are just trying to please God, they're like filthy rags. They're not good enough. But you have come to Mount Zion, it says in verse 22. You come to God and to Jesus. Mount Zion is often used to show that holy city, the heavenly city that we're going to aim for, that we do aim for. It's our destiny. That's where we want to go. And we come to judge. You have come to God, the judge of all. You come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And I rather like the way that the Children's Bible says, Jesus is the one who brought a new agreement from God to his people. And it speaks of the sprinkled blood. This is the blood of Jesus that was spilt when he died. And it's that blood that brings before the new agreement. It pays the penalty for our sin and brings us back to God. You've come, it says in our passage, to many angels. You can imagine a heavenly choirs of angels. You come to the assembly of the firstborn. That's the children of God. You have come to the meeting of God's firstborn children. Their names are written in heaven. So who's this? That's Christians. That's us. We have God's church who trust in Jesus. Now, being good enough is not something we can manage to do. But if we admit that God did it, Jesus died for us, and this brought us redemption, then that is marvelous. And God regards us as holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. That verse is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Yet how do we live it practically? We can only live godly lives as God helps us. God makes us more like Jesus and godly in what we think and do. And to be holy is receiving God's holiness. So, yes, that's fantastic. It's good, isn't it? Brilliant. We've got it. We've got God's holiness. But do we have any part to play? Verse 25 says, "Be careful and do not refuse to listen when God speaks." The Israelites at Mount Sinai, they heard and they were disobedient. Sadly, they couldn't match up. And all that generation, apart from Caleb and Joshua, they all died in the wilderness. And verse 14 says, "Try to live in peace with all people." Now, it's easier to live at peace with other people if we have peace with God. Try to live lives free from sin with God's help. So we accept God's path for us. We allow God to teach us and train us. And we heard last week from Rob Dillingham that God disciplines us for our good, that we may become holy as he is. We learn to have peace because we start living in the right way. So back to our theme of shaking. God promises in verse 26 that everything is to be shaken. And Peter also writes it in his second letter, this idea that everything is going to be destroyed. Everything that was made will be destroyed. Now, I don't know whether you feel that there might be an earthquake coming. Do you sort of feel that sort of shakiness? Yes. Oh, dear, it got destroyed. That thing I was relying on. Things, in fact, it's interesting that in All Saints this morning we sang the old version of Christ Alone, the one that was written long, long time ago. And on it, it talks about, "On Jesus, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is shaking sand." Verse 27 says, "The things that cannot be shaken remain." Yes, that hasn't remained. Nothing will remain except for God's kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God can be viewed as a spiritual world where God's will is done and where his love is revealed. So that is, we are part of that kingdom when Jesus receives us. "The kingdom of God has come upon you," Jesus said, and as we trust in him, we will be part of that kingdom. His will done and his love revealed. And it'll also be in Mount Zion, that heavenly city that we aim for. And in our last verse, verse 28, it reads, "Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Yes, we've received this. And we're grateful because it's through God's love and grace that we receive it. So we follow Almighty God and we follow our Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, whatever that may mean. Now, in parts of the world, we know that does mean life and death, doesn't it? In Afghanistan at the moment, it must be really difficult. So what do? We listen. We listen to the things of God through the Bible, perhaps through thoughts he gives us, through our Christian friends advising us well. We live at peace with our godly family and with everyone. And we try to avoid sinning. In Hebrews, in fact, Dorothy very kindly mentioned some of the themes: running the race, the Holy Spirit to guide us, enduring hardship, being determined to follow those heroes we read about in chapter 11. Most important of all, let us offer to God acceptable worship. That's the worship that pleases God, with reverence and awe, or respect and fear. So we don't come with that fear and bondage of not being able to serve God, the sort of Mount Sinai experience. But we come through faith and trust in God's wonderful mercy and grace. God has welcomed us into his kingdom. Let me just say a prayer. Lord God, we do thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we have this promise that as we trust in you, we are part of your kingdom of God. So please help us to run the race and be with you till the end. In Jesus' name, amen.